Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome once again to Saturday morning prayer time and a look at the Psalms. And today we will be reviewing and meditating on Psalm 102. Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, what an honor it is to meet with your people, to open your word, and to receive from you. As we go through this really profound psalm, help us to glean what you would have for us and then to put it into practice, into action. Guide us now in these moments together and in this prayer time. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 102. One of the titles of it is The Lord's Eternal Love. The Lord's Eternal Love. It's also been referred to as a prayer of the afflicted. When he's overwhelmed and pours out his complaint before the Lord. So let's just read this psalm. It's in its entirety, 28 verses, and then we'll go back and look a bit at each verse very briefly. Psalm 102, verse 1. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come to you. Do not hide your face from me. In the day of my trouble, incline your ear to me. In the day that I call, answer me speedily. For my days are consumed like smoke, and my bones are burned like a hearth. My heart is stricken and withered like grass, so that I forget to eat my bread. Because of the sound of my groaning, my bones cling to my skin. I am like a pelican of the wilderness. I am like an owl of the desert. I lie awake and am like a sparrow alone on the housetop. My enemies reproach me all day long. Those who deride me swear an oath against me. For I have eaten ashes like bread, and mingled my drink with weeping. Because of your indignation and your wrath, for you have lifted me up and cast me away. My days are like a shadow that lengthens, and I wither away like grass. But here's a great word, but. So, we've been to the bottom, now we're going to start back up again. But you, O Lord, shall endure forever, and the remembrance of your name to all generations. You will arise and have mercy on Zion. For the time to favor her, yes, the set time has come. For your servants take pleasure in her stones, and show favor to her dust. So the nations shall fear the name of the Lord. And all the kings of the earth, your glory. For the Lord shall build up Zion. He shall appear in his glory. He shall regard the prayer of the destitute and shall not despise their prayer. This will be written for the generation to come, that a people yet to be created may praise the Lord. For he looked down from the height of his sanctuary. From heaven the Lord viewed the earth to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to release those appointed to death, to declare the name of the Lord in Zion and his praises in Jerusalem. When the peoples are gathered together and the kingdoms to serve the Lord. He weakened my strength in the way, he shortened my days. He said, O my God, do not take me away in the midst of my days. Your years are throughout all generations. Of old you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will endure. They will all grow old like a garment. Like a cloak you will change them. but you are the same, and your years will have no end. The children of your servants will continue, and their descendants will be established before you." I thought we would begin with an old hymn here. You may have sung it before, maybe not. "Glorious Things of Thee Are Spoken" by John Newton. It was written in 1779, about the time of the formation of this nation, actually. And I'll read the fourth verse because it's not included in this particular music we're going to play. The fourth verse says, "Savior, since of Zion's city, I through grace a member am. Let the world deride or pity, I will glory in thy name. Fading are the world's best pleasures, all its boasted pomp and show, solid joys and lasting treasures, none but Zion's children know." So it is a hymn of Zion, and so I thought we would just play that this morning, and you can join in just listening or singing or both, whichever you want to do. Father, we thank you for that glorious hymn, old hymn, 300 or 250 years old, but written by this slave ship guy, John Newton. Amazing grace. What a mind and what a depth of awareness of you. Lead us now as we look at this psalm a little further. In Jesus' name. You may be seated. We fill up this room pretty well with sound, don't we? That's great. Thank you. Awesome. Sweet sounds. So we start out here with the psalmist is crying out, "Hear my prayer, O Lord." And if this is Jesus Christ, it's really God praying to God. If it's a man praying to the Lord, then that's a man praying to the Lord. But it's O Yahweh. "Hear my prayer, O Jehovah, O Yahweh, and let my cry come to you. Do not hide your face from me in the day of my trouble." So how we need to be reminded of that. You know, when things are going well and we see somebody else not trusting in the Lord, we say, you know, "What's wrong with you? Don't you know God is in this with you? And don't you know he's using it for his glory and for your good?" They would say, "You want to trade places with me?" You know, right? But we see here, we need to be reminded that He hears our prayer. We need to be reminded that He is there in the day of our trouble. And many times He's actually providing the day of our trouble. So what? So we turn to Him, right? Because how much do you really rely on Him when things are going smoothly? Not very much, right? So you're going to have trials and afflictions until you become Christ-like. So if you're still having trials and afflictions, you can connect the dots. And I think we're going to have them until our last breath. So, but He is going to continue to improve us, is He not? Incline your ear to hear me, or incline your ear to me. In the day that I call, answer me speedily. We want a fast answer, don't we? And so when the Lord gives us instruction to do, how quickly are we to respond? Are we responding as quickly to His instruction as we want Him to respond to our cry? For my days are consumed like smoke. They just pass away. My bones are burned like a hearth. My heart is stricken and withered like grass, so that I forget to eat my bread. Because of the sound of my groaning, my bones cling to my skin. I am like a pelican in the wilderness. Now, if you've ever seen a pelican in the wilderness, if you watch them at all, they are really lone birds. They have nobody around them, and they don't want anybody around them. As a matter of fact, they don't. When they feed their young, after they feed their young, they kind of take off. They don't even want to be around their young that much. Maybe not as bad as an ostrich, but something like that. But I'm like a pelican in the wilderness, alone, in other words. I'm like an owl of the desert, also alone. I lie awake, and I'm like a sparrow alone on the housetop. So all of these are pictures of birds, and they're all alone. My enemies reproach me all day long. Now, I mentioned to one of the other fellows when he came in this morning, we were talking about the enemies always. God is working. Yeah, God is working. He always is working. He always will be working. And always the enemy is there, right? So don't think you want to trade places with somebody else because they've got it so easy. Or if I was just over in that land over there, you know, there's no persecution and this is so great and all. No, you're going to have difficulties from the enemy wherever you are, where you're doing something for Him. So to get rid of the enemy, persecution, you want to go the way of the enemy. That's one way to get rid of the enemy, but now you've lost it all, right? And so we like the enemies, at least evidence of the enemies against what we're doing, right? And if we're not doing enough to even rile Him up, then maybe we're not doing an awful lot for the Lord. I don't know, but we see here, my enemies reproach me all day long. And this could well be like David and his worldly enemies as well. Those who deride me smear an oath against me. For I have eaten ashes like bread and mingled my drink with weeping. Picture is here, his tears are flowing down so much that his whatever he drinks gets salty, I guess. Because of your indignation and your wrath. Now, that verse, I don't quite understand who is saying this. This could be Jesus saying it, but because of your indignation and your wrath, for you've lifted me up and casted me away. So the lifted me up certainly sounds like the cross to me, but I don't know, you may have a different idea on it. Because of your indignation and your wrath, for you have lifted me up and cast me away. My days are like a shadow that lengthens. Now, shadows are not as good as the real thing, right? But when the shadows lengthen with regard to the sun, that means the day's about over, right? So it means his life's about over. My days are about over, and I wither away like grass. We notice how fast the grass turns brown when the rain stops, right? And even if it doesn't stop, it withers away. Now we have a great word in verse 12 here, but. So anytime things are not good and we get a but, cheer up, and vice versa. Don't cheer up if things are going bad and good and you get a but for bad. But you, O Lord, shall endure forever. Let that sink in a minute. You, O Lord, shall endure forever. Now, if you just looked at yesterday, how much of your time yesterday were you concerned over temporal things that are all going to pass away? How much were you encouraged by the thought that, well, the Lord's enduring forever. He's going to take care of all these problems and all of these deranged people that are making all kinds of poor decisions and poor rules and regulations and governing or whatever else are all going to pass away really soon, really soon. But the Lord shall endure forever, and the remembrance of your name to all generations. We keep hearing, and it's true, if the new generation doesn't get the Lord, that's the end of the church kind of a thing. I don't think that's what this verse says. The remembrance of your names to all generations. There will always be a remnant, I believe. I believe there's always a remnant around the world, every place. We'd like more than a remnant, though, wouldn't we? We would like a gathering, right? And remembrance of your name to all generations, you will arise and have mercy on Zion. So there's the first Zion we have. Now, you will arise. Who is that? Could that be anybody but Jesus? Or it could be us as his, because he rose again from the dead. We too will rise again from the dead, right? But you will arise and have mercy on Zion. And I also think that could be directed to God during the times of captivity, like in Babylon or in Assyria. We had a very specific time for the Babylonian captivity, we know, 70 years. And after the 70 years, they would have said, God would have said, basically, that I will have mercy on Zion. I will build Zion back up. The temple in Jerusalem at that time had been destroyed, and Zion seems to include all of those things, worshiping God, a temple, and the city of Zion, the mountain of Zion, a special place. That's where Jesus will reign from for 1,000 years, the millennial reign. That's pretty much right around the corner. For the time to favor her, yes, the set time has come. So I think we're getting close to that. If you want to put 70 years in there for the Babylonian captivity, you could. But I also think you could put the end times in there. We're getting close to that set end time, it would seem to me. We know when the time of the fullness of Gentiles has come in, what? That set time. The scales of Israel will be taken away. You will arise and have mercy, a set time to favor her. Set time has come. For your servants take pleasure in her stones. Probably the stones of the temple, I'm not sure. And show favor to her dust. In other words, you're going to show favor to all, big and small. So the nations, now this has to be end times. The nations, the Gentiles, shall fear the name of the Lord. By and large today, the Gentiles don't fear the name of the Lord, and certainly Israel doesn't fear the name of the Lord today, really. They know of the Father, but they have rejected the Son. So the nations shall fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth hear glory. So that's end times, absolutely. All the kings of the earth hear glory. For the Lord shall build up Zion. Very encouraging about Zion and its future and its presence and its importance to the Lord. For the Lord shall build up Zion. He shall appear in his glory. Again, that's Jesus Christ for sure, included in that. And that's when we're going to be with him too, when he comes back at the end of the tribulation, isn't it? To fulfill that prayer that we make all the time in a way, I think. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He shall appear in his glory. He shall regard the prayer of the destitute and shall not despise their prayer. Praise God. This will be written for the generation to come, that a people yet to be created may praise the Lord. That's almost a word for word out of Psalm 22, or those two things saying the same thing. People yet to be, in Isaiah as well, people yet to be created may praise the Lord. For he looked down from the height of his sanctuary. From heaven the Lord viewed the earth to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to release those appointed to death. What do we read in Ephesians 4? As he came to what? Set the captives free, right? To release those appointed to death, to declare the name of the Lord in Zion. So there it is again, third time. And his praise in Jerusalem. Jerusalem's going to be there forever. In fact, we're going to close today with singing of the new Jerusalem, right? we'll just go all the way to the end, you know. And when, you know, you get in this psalm, you can take it a lot of ways. You could spend this whole morning just on depression and the low points and how difficult life can be at times. But, you know, maybe we get enough of that. Let's praise the Lord a little bit more. And this one rendition of the Holy City has those three world-class tenors in it, which I just love to hear them sing, because God creates voices even in these bodies in this fallen world that are so outstanding at times. To declare the name of the Lord in Zion and His praise in Jerusalem, when the peoples are gathered together and the kingdoms to serve the Lord. Oh, what a day that will be. Just think, all the people in the tabernacle, tabernacling with the Lord, will be His. There'll be no blemishes. There'll be no evil. There'll be no wickedness. There'll be no sin. That's heaven. We're not there yet. I guess you don't need me to remind you of that. Verse 23, He weakened my strength in the way He shortened my days. I said something very profound here. Oh, my God! Oh, my God! How often are you crying out to Him in times of difficulty? Do not take me away in the midst of my days. Your years are throughout all generations. Of old, You laid the foundation of the earth, and the heaven are the work of Your hands. They will perish, but You will endure. Of old, You laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of Your hands. So you want to know what heaven is like? It's the work of His hands. They will perish, but You will endure. Isn't that amazing? As you look around the wickedness in the world, you can say, they're going to all perish, unfortunately. Pray for them, but they could all perish. But the believers who are His will endure. Yes, they will all grow old like a garment, like a cloak. You will change them, and they will be changed. But You are the same, and Your years will have no end. Now, these three verses are an exact quote in Hebrews. And so because they're in Hebrews, Book of Hebrews, Vernon McGee says this has got to be about the Lord. This has got to be a messianic psalm. And most people would call this a messianic psalm. But that quote is directly there in Hebrews from this, or these words are the same anyway. They will all grow old like a garment, like a cloak. You will change them and they will be changed. But You are the same. And your years will have no end. Now that is just profound when you think of the God we serve, that He's always good. He's always the same. And He will never end. You know, He doesn't have to be reelected. He doesn't have to go through the primaries or anything like that. And then verse 28, the children of Your servants will continue, and their descendants will be established before You. But we still need to pray for them, right? And at times we look at them and we're wondering, is there going to be a gap there? is there going to be a continuation in that commitment to You? And there are times when we all look like we kind of forgotten our way, I guess. The children of Your servants will continue, and their descendants will be established before You. So, Father, we look at this psalm. We know there's some great, beautiful things here. And we know this is all pointing toward the final part, which we're on the verge of, and that is Your return to establish Your kingdom here on earth. And, Lord, then after that thousand-year millennial reign, and then that final rebellion led by Satan after he got let out after 1,000 years of being bottled up, all of that's going to be put away. The white throne judgment will occur, and all the death and wickedness and evil and all of that will be cast into outer darkness, and then it'll be all pure, all pure, all pure, 100% pure. And Lord, then we have the promise, heavens and earth will pass away, but behold, all things will be new. We have the description of the holy city of Jerusalem there in Revelation chapter 21. And we can't understand much about it, but it's all going to be so perfect and so beautiful. And so, Lord, help us. Oh, help us to remember your glory, to remember your beauty, to remember what's ahead. And Lord, help us to be really crystal clear on every single one that you created in this world makes their own decision on where they're going to spend it, with you in that glory or apart from you in eternal torment. Only two places. And you don't send anybody to either one. We choose where we go. There are consequences of not loving you, and that is not being with you. And there are beautiful consequences of our receiving you as our Savior and committing to you, because the consequence of that is taking part in what you provided for us, that free gift, and being with you forevermore. And that's a good consequence, or a good result, I should say. I don't know about a consequence, but a good result. And here we are. So this morning, Lord, help us to use this time to pray. We can be in one accord here with your Spirit and have a powerful, effective prayer as you lead us in this prayer. So let us pray now. Well, we kind of come to the end of the hour so quickly. Just a closing thought, and then we're going to sing this great song of the Holy City. But I think we all would agree we're in the end times. Maybe not totally in yet, but we're approaching them, if not in the end times. And we read in the scripture that perilous days will come, right? We're reading that Satan has always been against the Lord, but he's running out of time. He only has 7 years left, plus however long it is between now and the beginning of the seven-year Great Tribulation period. So I think he's kicking it up a little bit. Now, we still have more power than he does. But are we still going along in low gear? He has picked it up now. Well, I don't know. I don't want to make somebody uncomfortable. Well, that means you don't love him. It just means you don't love him. Because if you have any love for another person that doesn't know the Lord, you got to tell them about the Lord. Yeah, but they might not like me. Are you kidding me? I don't care whether they like me or not. If you tell them in love and truth of what's ahead, we have to do that, right? Amen?
Amen.
So I know you know that. I know that. But I need to be reminded of it every day. Because I'll see somebody and I'll make a very quick decision. Well, there's no way that one will ever come to the Lord. I'm just going to go to the next one, right? You know? So let us gather and sing this song. And then on your way out, get some coffee, because nobody's touched it yet, because it's kind of hidden over here. But it's over here, so it's available for you. And so let's rise and sing this song. This was written, I don't know when it was written. Nobody knows when it was written, but it was published in 1892. So it's been around a while. But we got three world-class tenors here singing, and it is just a beautiful thing.
Last night I lay asleeping, there came a dream so fair. I stood in all Jerusalem beside the temple there. I heard the children singing, and ever as they sang, me thought the voice of angels from heaven answered. my dream was changed, the streets no longer rang. Hushed were the glad hosannas, the little children sang.
The sun grew dark with mystery, the moon was cold and chill, as the shadow of a cross arose upon a lonely hill.
As the shadow of a cross arose upon a lonely hill. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, heart of the angels sing, Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna to your King.
And once again the scene was changed, new earth has seemed to be. I saw the holy city beside the tidal sea.
The light of God was on its feet, the gates were open wide.
And all who would might enter, and no one was denied.
Gloria.
Father, we praise your name, Lord, and we thank you for the promises that you have given us. Lord, help us to remember your glory. So guide each one here, and may we be that witness you would have us to be, filled with joy, filled with your truth and love, Lord, more love for you and love for one another. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.